This is Growing Forward, a collaborative podcast between New Mexico Political Report and New Mexico PBS, all about cannabis in New Mexico. I'm Andy Lyman with New Mexico Political Report.
I'm Megan Kamrick, a New Mexico PBS correspondent and news director at KUNM-FM. And the day is here. Well, actually, the day was last week, but New Mexico has officially begun adult-use cannabis sales.
That's right. Last Friday was the first day of sales. And for the past couple of years, we've talked to a lot of folks about the logistics of growing, manufacturing, and selling cannabis. And so it was kind of exciting to get to see the first day of sales in person and talk to those who ventured out to buy legal cannabis for the first time. But before we ventured out on that first day of sales, we checked back in with a company we've been following since its inception.
Carver Family Farm is run by husband and wife Andrew Brown and Erica Hartwick Brown, along with their business partner, Matt Munoz.
We talked to the team at Carver Family Farm about educating both medical cannabis patients as well as cannabis newcomers. For generations, there was this idea that the two main types of cannabis had very specific but different effects. Even now, there's this idea that cannabis sativa produces a more uplifting effect and that cannabis indica makes people more relaxed. But in the past several years, there's been a shift away from that kind of thinking. Here are Erica and Andrew explaining a little bit about how they plan to help educate customers and move beyond the arguably antiquated idea that these two subspecies produce two distinctly different effects.
One of the biggest things that we feel we're going to enjoy helping people understand is the new understanding through science, because this is becoming more mainstream, because scientists are able to tell us sativa and indica are not an actual qualifying characteristic of these plants. And for so long, when somebody comes in, they say, I want a sativa. And we can ask questions that help them match themselves with a plant for clone or with a flower for their smoking or whatever, without having to pigeonhole into sativa versus indica.
So having the conversations around like maybe terpenes or something like
exactly.
that, as opposed to
exactly.
this kind does this, or and then mm-hmm. you've got hybrids and you know.
Hybrids and you know, do you enjoy smoking something that smells really gassy? Do you enjoy something that smells like candy? Are you trying to sleep? Are you trying to have a long day of work?
Seems what like a of, lot of that also. Depends on the person and place and timing 100%. And all that stuff, right?
Andrew and I both.
I think
both,
one of our
yeah.
core values is Eric and I are patients and we've been using this plant for a long time, and what works for my headaches doesn't work for Erica's headaches. And so it's not our place to say this is going to do that, because that's not really a valid description of a plant medicine that varies every grow. I mean, every part of the plant has different percentages of THC, and so it's a very subjective question that we're not going to say what things are going to do, because it's up to the person.
Before we could even get into the grow area, we had to take some precautions to prevent bringing in foreign objects, which meant we had to have our shoes sprayed with a special concoction.
Tell me where to turn around. It'll be easier that way. There we go. All right, got to get your feet.
Here's Andrew explaining what's in that concoction and what it does.
It's a mixture of different essential oils that all have different beneficial effects on either bugs, their molt cycle, their eggs, and things like that. So it's basically not only a repellent, but it also has pesticide-type applications.
Okay. I've never heard of that before. Is that a common thing?
It's widely okay. used mostly. Okay. A lot of people have like a step tray where you step in. A lot of okay. people use chemicals and bleach-type things. We use organic okay. essential oils. Clove oil, there's rosemary, there's eucalyptus oil. I think there's mint in there.
Carver Family Farm is classified as a cannabis microbusiness, which means they are limited to 200 mature plants. Earlier this year, the Cannabis Control Division upped plant limits for most growers, but that didn't include microproducers. And that's because a lot of regulations for those microproducers are written into law.
Listeners probably remember our last episode when we talked about a Senate bill that failed to pass. Among other changes, that bill would have increased production limits for microproducers. But Andrew told us that Carver Family Farm is managing to fill its grow rooms while staying well under the 200 plant limit.
That failed Senate bill would have also allowed businesses like Carver Family Farm to sell cannabis grown by other producers. And while that ability to buy products wholesale might help supplement sales for some, Andrew said he just wants to be able to help support other businesses.
There's only 24 plants in each room, 5 times 24. We're under this one has a couple more because we pushed them through quicker, but we're under our numbers, right? So we're not too worried about the plant count. It's just kind of offensive in a capitalistic society that we can't purchase wholesale and sell. That's the way the business works. And so to say we can only do us is a major disadvantage, and I don't think that's entrepreneurial, and I don't think that's really fair.
And it's only in one direction, right?
We can sell half price to them, right. But we can't, like, Matt's father wants to go in for license up in, what, Aztec? Mm-hmm. We would love to carry his product and support Matt's family.
We also visited Carver Family Farm on the first day of recreational use cannabis sales, but we also stopped by some other dispensaries to see how opening day was going.
Megan, where are we today? It looks like we're at Everest Apothecary. What are we doing here?
This is the first day of recreational cannabis sales in New Mexico.
And so the governor is scheduled to speak here any moment, and you're going to go in and ask her some questions, right?
I am. I think she's going to do a meet and greet with the folks here at Everest and the people standing in line, and talk a bit about why she advocated for legalizing cannabis and the hopes that she has for the economy in New Mexico with a new industry.
All right, we'll see how that goes.
Congratulations.
Hi.
Hello. Did they tell you I was coming to
No.
talk to them online?
No.
It seems to me they should have given you a little notice.
Oh,
all right, it's not too cold.
No.
Are you excited about going in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too. This is a big day for New Mexico.
It is.
Right?
Finally.
Yes, it took that. Frankly, when I was campaigning in 18, I thought it would be a little bit easier to convince the legislature that we know what we're doing. We have great business owners, great consumers, great tourists, great New Mexicans, young people who are smart about any number of entrepreneurial activities. So right on!
Right?
So, tell me, you don't have to tell me your name, but I'm Michelle.
Tony. Nice
hey,
to
Tony.
Meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Alana.
Hi, Alana. Nice to meet
nice
you.
To
from
meet
Albuquerque?
You.
Yes. Yes.
Right on. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
I heard you're bringing pizza.
Can you see what they've done to me? No, that's after you go to the store.
Oh, after,
I have
okay.
to meet you at the
okay,
next location.
Right,
I mean, I'm not
deal.
An expert or anything. I've just, you know, I've been familiar with the term munchies.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's an after situation.
So question, red or green?
Oh, both. Why would
Come
I
on,
choose?
Green!
No,
it's today's
choose.
Green!
You don't
go green!
Cheat. I'm sure there's a red gummy bear in there somewhere. It's so much fun just to see people enthusiastic about getting access
awesome.
To products we
just
want.
History.
You know, I was working for Gary Johnson when I don't think he gets enough credit for in the 90s saying, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. And the only movement, I mean, Congress wasn't even talking about it, was to do medical. And I can't quite recall whether he was the first governor in the country that was talking about medical cannabis or right in there. We didn't get very
He's
far.
Awesome.
But
but
Richardson got it over the finish line, and I got to carry the medical cannabis and get it going. So we've had some good leadership here, and I'm happy to be in the job when we get to do recreational.
And happy
it's fun.
It's bringing the economy to New Mexico.
$318 million in sales, we think, this year. $50 million in revenues. Put that into wherever you want. Schools, roads, bridges, all of us. What's your name?
Leona.
Hi, Leona. It's nice to meet you. Happy Cannabis Day.
Thank you.
Terrific. All right. This is so much fun. All right, I'm going to... I get to cheat, I think, and go in. So can I just apologize? I won't buy anything.
Can we get your discount? I'm
really starting to like you. All right.
Have
Thanks.
A good day, ma'am.
I will.
It was nice meeting
nice
you.
Nice to meet you. Okay, bye, everyone. Thank
bye.
You.
Bye.
I will.
Governor, I'm sure you've been asked this a million times already, but you know, how do you feel with adult use sales starting today? I mean, what's the general feeling for you?
I'm excited. This is what New Mexicans said they wanted. They said they wanted it well before I was running, so I was a champion and an advocate about cannabis reform in Congress, from banking to the right regulatory environment. I was fortunate enough to get schooled by the right experts about medical cannabis. I've long been a patient advocate. So today is like the fruition of a ton of work by a lot of incredible people. making sure that New Mexicans have access to recreational adult-use cannabis in exactly the way they want. And it's a huge economic opportunity for the state. So I'm feeling terrific.
So introduce yourself.
Trishelle Kirk. I'm the CEO of Everest Cannabis Co.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about how you got into the industry. I'm not used to seeing women CEOs.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. So I came from the solar industry. I was running a residential and small commercial division in a local company right when it was becoming a lot more mainstream to put solar on your home or small business. And when I decided to look for new opportunities, I wasn't really considering cannabis, but cannabis found me. It was an interesting industry. I knew very little about the product, but I loved that it was a locally owned, locally operated, very New Mexico-focused business. And so I joined them in 2019 and was just promoted to CEO last year.
Say something about your background in New Mexico.
So I've been here for about 10 years. I moved here from Arizona, finished my education here. I have a bachelor's degree from UNM Anderson. I also have my MBA from there. And then from there, I did a couple internships with Sandia National Labs, McKee Wallwork & Company, ended up at Affordable Solar, that local solar company, and here I am at Everest now.
Wow, cool. So how many locations do you guys have?
We currently have 9 operating locations, and we're opening 3 more in the next month.
Wow, okay.
Yes.
And so you have your own products, and you also have other folks.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we grow all of our own cannabis, and we produce about 70% of our manufactured products in-house. We partner with other local New Mexico businesses to produce the other 30% of products that we sell.
Okay, great. All right, thanks.
My name is Maurice Gomez.
And why are you here today, Maurice?
Well, why is everybody else here? To buy some pot, you know, and be legal, you know, rather than going elsewhere.
Have you been a medical patient?
No.
Okay. So you've been using pot for a while. Like, how have you, until this day, how have you been doing?
I usually go to Colorado to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Why do you like using
pot? Because it helps me. It helps me. It calms me down. It works. It helps me with, like, PTSD. I'm not the same if I don't smoke.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you now that it's legal here in New Mexico?
Now I can pretty much just walk to the dispensary and walk back home.
And what are you hoping this turns out to be for New Mexico, for you and for other people and for the state?
I hope it brings, you know, money to the economy. You know, we need roads fixed here. I know Colorado had a bunch of help when they got the pot situation situated, you know. So, you know, we got a bunch of messed up roads here in Albuquerque that need to get fixed, and the highway's messed up, you know. So hopefully that brings income to help out with that and help out with the schools and, you know, help out with everything that needs, you know, helping out with.
My name's Joseph.
And what's your name?
Destiny.
So what brought you guys out today?
I guess just the everything that's happening. Been waiting for this for a while.
Yeah.
I'm actually a medical patient, but it's exciting that it's becoming legal for everybody to be able to use, so I just want to be part of the excitement.
I know some medical patients have been worried about supply as rec sales start. Do you have any concerns around that?
A little bit, but not too much. I'm excited because I think it'll bring more, like, diversity to the products they have, because I feel like it was limited, so I'm hoping they bring, like, new products to the medical patients.
Oh, cool. Can I ask what you use it for?
I use it for PTSD, and then it helps with pain as well, so.
What kind of products do you use now? What are you looking forward to seeing?
It depends on the part of the day, so I use different things, but just to be able to have a more variety, because sometimes they're very limited, so.
And are you a medical patient?
I am not.
Okay. What does rec sales mean for you?
Well, don't have to worry as much anymore, I guess. It's a big deal. Been waiting for it for a while. When I heard about it last year, it was kind of a weight lifted, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you've been using it, but it's had to be sort of on the DL.
Yeah.
You guys need to... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I think it's that way for a lot of people. Yeah. Most people, yeah.
So how are you guys going to spend the day once you make your purchase?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Probably pretty much a regular day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Life errands to run, yeah. But I'm excited for when it's time to cool down tonight to be able to, medicate.
All right, cool. Nice. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Where are we?
We are at Carver Family Farm, which we've been to a few times, but this is opening day for them, so we'll see who's in line. Looks like we're about to walk up to Erica Hartwick Brown, who is part of the owner, or one of the owners, excuse me.
Get your Bluetooth in there and take it over.
Hi, Erica.
Hey.
Hi, Erica.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going awesome. We're having a wonderful morning. Thank you for coming. And now it's going to get really loud with our bumping music in the back.
You guys need water? Good.
All right, so asking everybody that comes to the door if they're rec or if they're patients. And we have to make sure that we have IDs that are proof of age verification. And then if they're patients, we get their patient card so that they don't have to pay their tax.
My name is TJ Emmerich.
So we're just trying to get the feeling of what it's like, people coming for the first time. Have you been to a dispensary other places before?
I have, yeah, in Colorado. Yeah, when I remember, I think like 2014, they started the dispensaries, the rec there, and I was working in Yellowstone at the time. I drove down to Colorado and went to some of the dispensaries. And
what do you like to ingest every day?
Well, it helps me in various ways. It just, and it's a habit at this point. Glad to be here. It's we've been excited getting ready for this.
And you don't have to drive to Colorado.
Yes, I don't have to drive to Colorado, especially with the gas prices right now. Time to pay, huh?
Your total today is going to be $92.30. That's it for you. So we're going to round it up to $95, and then I'll give you back your change in cash, okay? I didn't want to come off being rude or anything. Go ahead and get it.
So what do you guys plan for the rest of the day?
Not very little. Yeah. Gonna get some food and enjoy the product. Yeah.
Luckily it's on a Friday, right?
Yes. Yeah. Probably play some music and just hang out. Listen to records. It's gonna be great.
All right, enjoy, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good rest of your day.
You too.
Good.
Yes, thank you guys.
Walking into Green Goods, and we're coming to meet a woman named Ellie. She's the executive director of this company, and don't know much about it, so we're going to learn a little bit more about Green Goods.
Hi, I'm Ellie Bazanson, executive director for Red Barn Growers and general manager for Vireo Health New Mexico, including the Green Goods brands. So I am the executive director for the license. The license was has been around since the inception of the program about 12 years ago, and we started under the name Red Barn Growers. So recently, about a year and a half ago, we decided to sort of evolve our brand to align with the nationwide company. Our parent company is Vireo Health, and across the country, we have dispensaries called Green Goods. And so we opened up two new stores as Green Goods, one here in Albuquerque, one in Las Cruces. And so the idea is to kind of evolve the Red Barn Growers into the Green Goods. So it's coming. I didn't start Red Barn. I took it over from the former owner-operator, and then I stepped into the executive director position. Yeah, do you need help?
Oh,
this is our manager, Mike Demko. Yeah.
So yeah. You've been around before the national sort of, I don't want to say takeover, but...
mom and pop. Yeah, so...
So Vireo is a national company, and they bought you out?
Yes. So the former owner-operator was this fabulous guy named Brett Baker, and... In I think it was 2018, I kicked the door in and I was like, I'm going to get a job as a part-time bud tender. And 2 years later, I had the executive director title, which is pretty cool. But that's the neat thing about cannabis, you know? I mean, my background is corporate marketing, brand strategy. So it's not exactly like, you know, I started as like a Horatio Alger star, you know, a plucky young gal. No, nothing like that. But it's amazing because cannabis, I think, still affords those really sort of big opportunities in interesting and unique ways. So I know.
I heard that, that I guess, Vireo, this is the first state that they're in that's recreational. Is that right, that they focus on medical, apparently? Or
many of their states are medical. We do have a stake in the Arizona market, so that was the first rec state. But I'd like to kind of take all of the glory for that, right? We're the biggest and the best.
their focus has been primarily on medical cannabis, right?
Exactly right, yes.
Protecting patients, that sort of thing.
So Vireo is it's a physician-run organization, right? So it was founded by a couple of ER doctors. And so the cool thing about the company is that it's very scientific-focused, very customer-focused. And so the thing I love about it is that it really does feel like noble work, you know? We're really tapping this plant for all of its medical capabilities, so... Yeah.
Did you guys open at 10 today?
We did. And can I tell you, so across all four locations, you know, it's I use that duck analogy, right? We're calm and cool on the surface and like just paddling like crazy underwater. So we're contacting all the stores. How you doing? Do you have people yet? Is there a line yet? And everybody was saying, no, we're good. And then bam, right at 10, explosion, like an explosion across all locations. So it's been really exciting. It's been hectic. We're on the phone with BioTrack. We're on the phone with other stores. We're trying to figure out last minute product issues, you know, within BioTrack. But for the most part, it's been amazing. And look at these folks. They're pumped to be here. They're calm. They're cool. They're collected. We opted not to do the big fanfare outside because we really didn't know what we were going to see. And I wanted to make sure that we kept people safe and that we could sort of manage the chaos if it got to be pretty chaotic. But this is about as amazing as I could have hoped for. I mean, people have been in really good spirits. They've been calm. They've been respectful of each other. And I think they're just excited to get their groove on.
Well, it helps the weekend, right?
And the first, right? We might be opening for recreational sales, but this ain't no joke. It's no April Fools.
How many locations do you guys have?
We have four locations: Santa Fe, Albuquerque, Las Cruces, and Gallup. And our cultivation site is in Gallup. I'm a firm believer that success will be based off of high quality. You know, what we do is we have a smaller grow. We grow in soil. We're organic. We do a long grow. And that all contributes to this really high quality, kind of artisan caliber, curated bud. And I think that's what's going to shake out the difference. You know, one of the exciting things about micro licenses, right, is that they're going to bring in, I'm hoping that they'll bring in that niche kind of microbrew aspect. And in a state where we are kind of plagued with supply rumors and in some cases very real supply issues, I think that having an opportunity to select some, you know, small batch flower is really going to just... I think that's going to separate the quality folks from just the large, just milling out giant yields but low quality product. So I'm excited because I would love to carry, you know, that seasonal batch that comes from Las Cruces, or you know what I mean? Like comes from those small areas. If you think about it, right now in the state, we only have a handful of manufacturers. So pretty much all of the dispensaries are going to be carrying the same products. Flower is going to be the differentiating thing that kind of separates us all. So,
sorry, Megan, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you guys have been here for a while serving medical patients.
Yes.
So how did you prepare for this day of rec sales? Because I'm guessing you might have some folks coming in, they need some guidance from the bud tenders because they haven't been medical patients.
Well, I don't want to tell you how the sausage is made, but...
We want to know.
It ain't pretty, folks. Look at me. I'm 27 years old. I look like I'm 80. Just Just teasing. We put a lot of thought into this. So, you know, in terms of, I think the biggest thing was preparing on the product side, on the supply side. And so for months we have been sort of evaluating what we need to potentially field a massive influx. And so a lot of our focus was on prepping the stores with the best array of products, with the best flour, with enough flour. And then, you know, closer to rec, we were talking about things like, you know, store layout and some of the other nuances, like having ample security and what this looks like when you're opening the doors to a much larger swath of community. So it was a lot of just, you know, sort of strategic planning about what would happen on the retail level, and then also from an operational perspective, how to step things up. You know, for example, one of the things I did was I brought in a new business unit. So we had one trimmer a year ago, and now I have an entire production team of, you know, 8 people. So
does that one person have carpal tunnel syndrome now?
No, but she's got a gold statue for her winnings in trimming. We promoted her to the production manager, and now she runs this entire team, which is fantastic. So I think one of the other things about that has contributed to our success is that I, as a leader, I'm a big fan of promoting a positive, enthusiastic, happy, well-adjusted culture. And so I work really hard to foster good relationships with my staff. I'm big on communication because don't we all just want to go in a place where you like to work, you know, where you feel like somebody's got your back, where it's okay, you're human. If you mess up, we won't hurt you too bad. No, but where you're valued, you know. So I think a lot of our success really comes down to our people. You know, we have some magnificent folks working for us. So
all right, Andy.
Where
are we now?
We're at our last stop for the day, and happy about it. We've been all over the place. Feels like we've been out. We've only been out for several hours, but it seems like we've been out for. Feels like we've been out for a day or two. We're at our last stop. It's called Seven Point Farms. Again, this is a company that we've sort of talked about in a previous episode. We talked to Wiley Atherton, who at the time was their, I think, chief cultivator. And this is sort of, again, on Manal. This is what the third location that we've been to today that's on Manal. We've talked about that before. It's the Green Mile of Albuquerque.
This almost looks like a jewelry store.
Long time no see. How are you?
Can you, we've talked to you before. That's Robert. Okay.
Cool.
We've talked to you before, but can you reintroduce yourself?
Yes. Yeah, my name is Wiley Atherton. I'm director of cultivation for Seven Point Farms.
So how's it going today?
It's busy. It's hectic, but it's delightful. It's really nice to see end of an era, the drug war kind of coming to a close here on cannabis, and so many happy, excited people getting into our product.
Was it busy today? Or okay,
slammed. Just basically from the minute we started serving people, it's been nonstop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell me about your display. This is different than what I have seen in other places we've been. Sure. So it almost looks like a jewelry store.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's the idea. You know, we're a craft brand. We are really serious about how we curate our product, and we want to make sure that we're not only providing the highest quality product, but displaying it in a way that honors that craft and that curation. So that when people walk in, that first impression is, this is a high-class establishment, this is high-quality product, I can trust that this is clean and quality.
Yeah, so you've got little white tiles in display cases, and you have a different product on each one. Different.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So we've got 20 strains laid out here, divided by uplifting, relaxing, and balanced profiles. All of this is produced in-house. We are hoping as more licensees come online and are able to get their production sort of flowing, that we can have guest strains and make room on our shelf for other producers. But we do have a really smooth-flowing production of our own, and so we are going to stay stocked up with a wide variety of cultivars and strains, not just a large quantity of a few things.
mistaken, excuse me, if I'm not mistaken, Seven Point Farms sort of started out early on as a wholesale only company. My understanding is that it's that wholesale market is sort of frozen out right now, that everyone's holding on to what they got. Is that what you're experiencing as well?
Yeah, things definitely got really tight leading up to this moment. I think everybody was stockpiling what they had, scrounging up what they could from the market around, but everybody's been playing it pretty close to the vest, as we expected. You know, that was a big part of why we made big foray into retail. We already had a couple small volume retail stores, but this is our first Albuquerque location, and the idea is definitely to try to make sure that we have a good smooth pipeline from production to end user.
One thing I noticed, maybe I'm wrong, you don't have a ton of maybe like ancillary products.
Yeah, so all the manufactured products have gone through the ringer, so to speak, with regulations. And so we have what our manufacturers were able to provide us in the timeline given. But as is typical with cannabis and the balance between the regulators and the players in the business field, the timeline from when a decision gets made by a regulator and how that affects the business itself and the end consumer can be really, really long. For us on the cultivation side, it's about 180 days. If somebody makes a decision that affects my cultivation, I'm about a half a year out from seeing the impact of that change to our cultivation. It can be tighter or longer for manufacturers, but this happened in Oregon. It happens in every market. They kind of get, like I said, thrown through the ringer. They get a lot of stuff thrown at them, a lot of changes last minute. They have to deal with packaging and labeling requirements that can be quite onerous. Like they have things that change on a dime, and they've expended a ton of money on the equipment, on the specific labels and specific designs, just to have somebody say at the last minute, hey, we need it to just be this. We need it to be a little bit different. And that can really throw a wrench in their gears. As far as edibles and consumables go, kind of right at the 11th hour, we heard that officially recreational users would not be able to purchase anything over a 100-milligram serving. That had to be broken into 10 10-milligram servings. So a ton of products that we had in our pipeline that we already had paid for and prepped for rec are going to only be able to be sold to medical users, and a ton of stuff that would have been marketed to potentially everybody is going to be kind of relegated to that small little section of the market.
I read that in a press release, I think, yesterday or today, that said packaging for edibles can be no more than 100 milligrams in a package, and then a serving size is defined as 10 milligrams. So anything above that, like what Wiley said, has to go to medical folks that probably need that extra.
Absolutely, and we're happy to provide those. It typically, most consumers, especially for an edible or an ingested dose that is not smoked or vaporized, very, very sensitive, and they need a much lower dose than has kind of been typically marketed in years past. We always recommend that people start with a 2.5 or a 5-milligram dose and work their way up to 10, because it doesn't pass through the same pathways in our metabolism in our bodies. It's absorbed differently and lasts much longer and is much stronger than an equivalent dose of the same milligrams when you're smoking or vaporizing. So almost everybody has a story of like, oh, I took my buddy's brownies and like I was just out for a day or whatever. We're trying to avoid that. It makes for a funny story, but it makes for a really unpleasant user experience. So
what is your name?
My name's Gloria Montoya.
And is this first time to a dispensary, or are you a regular customer?
I'm a regular customer.
Oh, okay. What do you use cannabis for?
I really believe it's a medicine, quite honestly, and it allows me to function in a happier, cleaner, healthier outlook.
Say more about that? That's interesting.
Well, I don't know how to say it, but I mean, it's like a shift in your body chemistry somehow that is more comfortable. It's allowing you somehow to be more wholesome, feels like. Okay. So I really do consider it medicine.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been using it?
Well, that's a good question because I'm old.
Well, we've had a medical program for a long time.
All right. So I was just thinking about that today.
Okay.
Because
go back to the whole history.
So I was just thinking about the day. So I'm 72 years old, and so I was around in 67. Was totally illegal, right? The war on drugs. So, you know, we're like, what is that, 50, 60, 60 years, and we finally are legalizing what I really do believe is medicine. So there was a period when I smoked, and then you couldn't, and then I couldn't because of my occupation. So only when that isn't a limiting factor in your ability to hold a job, you know, I've been able to experiment with the medicine itself. Mm-hmm. Like, happy medicine, not so happy medicine. That kind of stuff. And, you know, just be aware of the shifts in your own personality. I don't know.
What brought you out today, first day of recreational sales? I mean, you could always come as a medical patient. But
I know. All right, so I don't think I'm infringing on anything. So I'm a board member for Seven Point Farms, which is the company that has the grow that Riley's talking to you about. So I'm a board member. So as a small industry, because we're one of the smallest growers, you know, we've had tumultuous times. So, you know, this is like a big achievement to have finally gotten to this point. And it's beautiful, right? Like, I have not shopped at our own dispensaries, and we only have three dispensaries, this being the third, the only one in Albuquerque, and it only opened today. So I had lunch with friends, and I thought, you know, I was here with this group working late at night trying to get it all together. So I'm proud of them. I hadn't interacted with any of the bud dealers in any way, and I just came in as an educated consumer and asked some questions and got some good responses and some good suggestions. And
were you being like a secret shopper? Did they know who you were?
Well, somebody outed me. So the manager, Haley, I think she introduced herself. She said, "Oh, this is Gloria, our board member." You know, so I was kind of outed on the thing. So I think the guy was, but he was legit, you know.
Oh, my name is Robert Jackson. I'm the executive director here at Seven Point Farms.
How has today been?
Well, been wild. Personally, really emotional. Like, definitely a goal of ours to, you know, be here now. And there's been some hurdles and some bumps in the road. You know, we got our medical license in 2015. And so it's been a journey to get here, so we're proud of that, and pretty excited on an advocate level. I'm happy to see the end of prohibition. This is just, you know, one more step, we're moving the needle, as they say. But yeah, it's crazy, and I'm super excited about it.
This is your first dispensary in Albuquerque?
Yes, first dispensary in Albuquerque. We are a small organic living soil producer. Our farm is in Socorro County, so our first store was in Socorro, the city. And then we branched out, we moved into Cedar Crest, and this is the first day of our first Albuquerque store. So,
how did you guys prepare?
Oh my God.
Because you had to be not only a new location, but you're serving rec and medical.
Yes. We did our best to keep up with changing regulations and you know, City of Albuquerque curveballs, and you know, we're here.
Yeah.
I can't remember how we got here, to be honest. We just did the work.
I have to say it's amazing because I was up here just by chance going to Charlie's Records, I want to say maybe a month ago, and they were scraping the windows off, and clearly something was going in, but it wasn't clear what it was. And so almost, it seemed like overnight, all of a sudden it was like, oh, it's going to be Seven Point Farm. So it's quick, right?
Yeah, it was quick. It happened for us, it happened very quickly. You know, from fundraising to this was a pretty quick process with a lot of work on the behind the scenes. Yeah.
We've been asking everybody about this, but what are your concerns, if any, about shortages or running out of supply in the next few weeks? We sort of hear a lot of different answers about this.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we are fortunate to be an established cultivator, and we really focused on cultivation. So we feel fairly comfortable that we'll be able to weather, you know, a largish storm of shortages if that happens. But I'll tell you what, for the last week, my phone, because I mostly wholesale before we got into, you know, major market and rec, my phone's been ringing off the hook, and I feel for the guys. You know, there's a lot of people that put a lot of money into opening these shops, and they don't have product.
But it's probably a matter of time, right, before things sort of even out.
I think is going to happen is it's going to even out. But I do know that it takes, you know, it doesn't, it's no small feat to open a retail store, no matter how small. And, a lot of these folks are much smaller than us and doing things like cashing in retirement and taking mortgages out. And so it's a bit, I'm concerned, that there's going to be a bit of carnage because of that. Some of these smaller folks that are just doing shops only are going to have a rough ride to be able to solidify products on a regular.
It's just a lot of activity. This is it's going to be really interesting to see how this continues after this first day. There's a lot of excitement from folks, a lot of different kinds of people in this business, different kinds of customers. It's just been a really interesting brief snapshot.
Yeah, a couple folks that we didn't get a chance to get in or get scheduled for an interview today. There's a couple of dispensaries that are opting to not sell anything but to patients, medical cannabis patients. So that's really interesting to watch to see how things unfold, like you just said, that how supply chains look. I mean, we've got some producers that seem very concerned about supply and others that are sort of just going along. And obviously we've heard from almost everybody that there's no wholesale product out there. So if you're trying to open a retail only spot, it's nearly impossible to find anything unless you have grown it yourself legally. I did talk to Ben Lewinger, who we heard from earlier today, and yeah, he said that a lot of those retail spots are just not ready to open yet because there's nothing for them to buy in order to sell.
I think this reminded me too, when I used to do business reporting, it's always super interesting to talk to entrepreneurs because what they're doing is sort of their passion and how they build out their business and how they make decisions and how they figure out how to serve their customers and the paths that they take to distinguish themselves. So they're always such interesting folks to talk to.
I'm speaking with Victor Reyes. He's the deputy superintendent of the Regulation and Licensing Department, which oversees the Cannabis Control Division. Victor, just in short, how did things go today on the first day of recreational use sales?
We're really excited about the way that things have been going today and continue to go. You know, what we're seeing is that New Mexicans are coming out to support New Mexico businesses, and there's a lot of excitement out there. We are really grateful for the partnership that we've had with industry members, with businesses, in both the lead up and in the rollout today. And so all in all, I see this as a success.
And I think I'm seeing some numbers that your office sent about halfway through the day. Of course, the day's still not over yet. I'm sure no more numbers will come through.
but it looks like total sales were $656,000. I mean, and a little bit extra than that. That was the total sales, and total transactions 8,000 as of noon on the first day. That seems pretty significant.
Yeah, it's been a great day. You know, almost $500,000 at noon when it comes to just the recreational sales alone. And, you know, when we looked at passing this legislation with Governor Lujan Grisham, initiated the task force to look at legalizing recreational cannabis for adult use. One of the things that we knew we would experience was an industry that would stimulate the economy, that would bring revenue to the state. And today's sales prove that that is a very real possibility and one that we are well on track to do.
Thanks so much, Victor, and go hopefully get some sleep tonight.
You're awesome, Andy. Thank you so much, and thanks. Have a great one. And thanks for covering this issue for so long.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Growing Forward, and don't forget to subscribe so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes. And we just launched our Instagram channel. You can search for us at Growing Forward.
Special thanks to Catherine Conley for designing our logo, and as always, a huge thanks to our producer, Kevin McDonald, for all the work he does behind the scenes.